And Father, we continue to lift up the nation of Israel. They are under attack, Lord, and it seems to be daily. And Father, we know that they play such a role. You've used that little nation to bring the gospel to the world. And so I pray that you continue to be with them, protect those people, and again, help us to really have an eye on it also, Lord, as we see the end draw near. And Father, we're going to give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you take your Bibles this morning, and again, if you don't have your own Bible, there's one right in the pew in front of you. I encourage you, if you don't have a Bible, that you get one. And if you need one, see me. We'll get one in your hand before the day's out. But would encourage you to follow along. And this morning, it will be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And to talk about this area of reconciliation, and it seems like a big word, but it's really reconciliation is bringing two alienated people or parties together in a area of bringing together in peace and restoration. It makes me kind of think of some of the Hallmark movies. They can be kind of romantic and sort of cheesy, but some of the especially we get into the holiday season, the Hallmark shows where they have two parties that are kind of, there's some kind of separation between them, something happened in the past, and it culminates in this great ending where these two parties are brought together. The relationship that they have is now restored. And that's what reconciliation is about. And also, once that takes place, something kind of miraculously happens, is there's a new beginning that takes place, something new, and a new relationship that's a better relationship. And here, in the Bible, and I say the Bible is made up by page 3, everything falls apart, and the rest of the book is spent. And how can man be reconciled to God? That's the whole premise of that Bible and how it comes to be. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll be looking at different passages in that chapter, but in verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone who is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. The new things have come." You know, and we see that we, as believers, we are now a new creation. Now, we might be called the same name. We might go to the same job. We might wear the same clothes. But we are a new creation. Something's changed. Our outward appearance might be the same, but on the inside, we are new. We are a new creation. And there's more that takes place than this simple change in character or a change in desire or a change in purpose. We are a new creation. We've died with Christ, therefore we're no longer living for ourselves, but instead we're living for the one who died for us and who was raised again. Now, we might have that same address, but we are a new creation, and our citizenship has now changed. And Paul, as he was speaking to the Philippians, and if you turn to the right, I know you're in 2 Corinthians, but if you go to the right just a little bit in Philippians chapter 3, starting with verse 18, it says, "For many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things." Then verse 20, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." And if you notice a few things right there, is that we are citizens of heaven. And the Lord Jesus Christ has this power that enables him to bring everything under his control. Now, you know, Dave, I'll pick on Dave McIntyre. He's here to defend himself, but he won't need to. But as we'll be talking about the Bible and biblical things, Dave will said that he'll say this, because he said so, meaning because God said so. He'll just say, because he said so. Well, if God said it, I believe it, and that settles it in that sense. Our citizenship is in heaven if we've accepted Christ. If we've accepted the death of Christ as our payment for sin, God said through Paul that your citizenship is in heaven. And if God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. And Paul, he's drawing a distinction between those who live as citizens of the world and those through Christ have gained citizenship in heaven. And the citizenship of the world lives as enemies of the cross of Christ. And as we're told there in verse 17, their destruction is the god of their appetite. Meaning they live really to satisfy whatever their physical desire is or whatever their craving is, whatever that is, whatever it may be. They respond to their appetite. They're driven by their appetite. They're controlled or compelled by their appetites, whose glory is in their shame, we're told. Their mind is set on earthly things. Do you know people like this? But our citizenship is in heaven. We're compelled by the love of Christ. We no longer live in the world. We're no longer controlled by the world. We're no longer looking to satisfy the appetites of the flesh or our desires. And so Paul puts it this way, back in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, looking at verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. The Christian has died with Christ so that we can become new with him in his resurrection. And Paul, as he was speaking to the church there in Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 2, 1 and 2, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit, that is now working in the sons of disobedience. And then if I pop down there to verse 12, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You know, when we accept Christ, we are resurrected with him, because foreigners in the world, or we become foreigners in this world, you and I, and in the world have we gained citizenship in heaven. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone, and I'm in back in 2 Corinthians, I'm messing with you now. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. You know, we are ambassadors representing the ministry of reconciliation, the message of reconciliation, the mission of reconciliation. an ambassador is, it's a diplomatic official, and it's a diplomatic official that holds really the highest rank of that, and he's a representative residence of one government or one sovereign to another. That person is an authorized messenger. And again, as I'm saying this, we are ambassadors. You are an authorized representative. They don't set their own policies as that person. They don't operate with their own message, but they deliver the message from the authority that is over them. And in the same way, we are called to live under the authority of Jesus Christ, the authority of Scripture. And we, as Christians, we live under that authority of the Word of God. It's not to do our will, but it's to do Christ's will. And Paul said it this way in verses 14 and 15, "For the love of Christ controls us." Now, some translations use the word compel us. "Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died." So that what? "So that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf." We, you and I, are Christ's ambassadors. We're controlled by, we're compelled by the love of Christ. And it's to bring Christ's message to a land in which we live now as foreigners, representatives of Christ himself. Does that make sense? We are appointed by Christ, operating and living under that authority of the Word of God. And here's something, and being an ambassador, it's not a part-time job. And it's more than a full-time job. It's a 24-hour-a-day appointment. The actions and the words and the deeds of the ambassador reflect upon the one that's giving them the authority, no matter when it is that they're acting. We are ambassadors of Christ, living under the authority of the Word of God. Now, the question is that how your life is governed? 1 Peter 1:16, it restates what Leviticus 11:44 says here, that you shall be holy, for I am holy. We're to live in ways that demonstrate to those around us that we have submitted to the authority of the Word of God. Now, our representation of that authority, if that's not the case, it's going to lack the integrity, and it's really going to become ineffective if we're not. And you and I mustn't live any more for ourselves, but instead for him who died so that we might live. And Paul tells us there in Philippians 17, I'm restating what I said earlier again, that brethren, join in following my example. I'm starting in verse 17. "And observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I often told you and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is where? In heaven." The mind of the world is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. We are to live a life that is a life that is disciplined. It is a devotional life. It's one that is separated from the sins and the lying and the hatred and the anger and all the greed and the lust and the fear. Those who live this way have their destiny, and their destiny is destruction. But our citizenship is in heaven. As ambassadors, we're not only called to spread the message of reconciliation, but to give those around us an example of that very same message. We are living examples. And it's true that God is the only one that can change the heart. It's true that the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts sinners of their sin. But we need to realize that as ambassadors of Christ, we are actually God's instruments to effect His purpose. I just want to be a tool in His hand. You know, we're not alone, and our interactions with those around us, they affect the reputation and the purpose of the one who has called us. And it's true that our justification, that it is personal, it is individual. It's through a personal relationship with Christ as our Savior that we are saved. But our sanctification, it's corporate, and our interactions as ambassadors are really subject to the authority of the Word of God. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. And it's making His appeal, and it's making His appeal through us so that others may be reconciled to God as well. Do you ever wonder why God chose us to represent Him as ambassadors? Do you ever think about that and wonder about that? Why didn't He choose the angels? I mean, I think they would be a lot better speakers at it. He chose those, us, who have died with Christ because, you know what, we can share the struggles of the world. We can share in the challenges of temptation. We can share in the trials of the sinful nature. You know, if the angels were to preach the gospel of Christ, well, we might, be impressed with their oration or how they speak. But someone could probably argue, well, you're an angel. How in the world can you understand what I'm going through? You know, how can you understand the influences of the world that I'm going through? There'd be a lot of yeah buts that are thrown in there. How can you understand the pressures that I'm facing in my job? He chose you because you have something to share to the lost. He chose you because you have something to give to the unsaved. He chose you because you can be empathetic. You can say, I understand. You know, I was once dead in my trespasses and sins. But I have recognized the one who died so that I might live. I have realized that I've died to sin, and now I can show how to live for Christ. And I beg you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You know, you and I are Christ ambassadors, and so we must therefore live under the authority of His Word in that. We carry that message and that ministry of reconciliation, the message of reconciliation. Verse 18 in that 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now all these things are from God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He was committing to us the word of reconciliation. You know, we've been given this ministry of reconciliation, this service of reconciliation, that ministry, the diakoneo, to serve, more accurately, is to serve as a slave. You know, we used to be slaves to sin. But Paul tells us in Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him in order that our body of sin might be done away with so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. In verse 18 of Romans 6, having been freed from sin, you become what? Slaves of righteousness. So God has given us this mission to serve as slaves of righteousness, which come from reconciliation to God through Christ. Again, reconciliation, it's being made right in that relationship. Things brought, all is right with the world, we hear it say. But it's bringing it back together again. Serving Him who has the power to bring everything under His control. You know who you are and what and where God needs you as His ambassador. You know, who else is going to bring this ministry and this message of reconciliation? Who else is going to do? Who else is going to bring this to your neighbor or your coworker or your classmate or your sister or your brother or the person that's checking you out at Rosar's or the waitress at the Antlers? Who else is going to do that? God has called you to be His ambassador, and He's put you exactly where He needs you to carry out your mission, delivering that message of reconciliation. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 and 2, "And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come to you with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." You know, Paul is stating there, if you remember back there in that 1 Corinthians study when we were going through it, that he couldn't address them as spiritual but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. They weren't ready for God's secret wisdom, the wisdom that's been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time even began. They weren't ready. They still weren't ready. His message and ours was not with wise and persuasive words. When we encounter someone, it isn't with that. It isn't in our own wisdom, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power so that their faith might rest on God's power rather than man's wisdom. I would rather rest on God's wisdom than my wisdom. Anything you hear isn't anything out of date, out of, because I'm not that wise. Just ask Debbie. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Romans 8:1. We are operating under the authority of the Word of God with the message of reconciliation as though God were making an appeal through us. And we beg you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. And again, as Paul writes this, as he says, when he speaks to those, especially in Philippians, where he's weeping, you know, he wants people to be reconciled to God. God wants them to be reconciled to Himself. Why is that? Because all of us have sinned and fall short the glory of God. And we know in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is what? Death. But God demonstrates His own love towards us that in while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we will be saved in Romans 10. It's a Romans road. We will be reconciled to God. We will be convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is Christ Jesus the Lord. There is nothing that can separate us from that love of God. You can't even do it. And it's in this love that compels us as ambassadors for Christ to implore, and I would say not implore, it's the beg, as my NASB has it, that others be reconciled to God, for God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. And if God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. We are therefore, you and I, Christ ambassadors. You are an authorized representative. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ and placed your trust in Him, you are now an ambassador. Everything is under God's control. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has given, has even to the subject all things into Him, under Himself. That's at Philippians 3. We've been given this ministry, the message, and the mission of reconciliation. He's committed to us the message of reconciliation and is making His appeal, and He's making His appeal through us. So, would you answer that call to be an ambassador for Christ? Are you living under the authority of the Word of God? Are you carrying His message? Are you living for Christ? And if that's not the case this morning for you, well, then be reconciled to God in Christ to become the righteousness of God. You know, it's that moment, you know, if you sense God's drawing you to Himself this morning and you need to know that, well, don't hesitate. Don't stop. Surrender yourself to Him in that and be reconciled to God for salvation if that's that what's taking place. Father, we do thank You and we give You praise, Lord. And as we move from now from this time of this message into a time of communion where we remember what took place on that cross for our sin, the payment was paid by Jesus Christ. And Father, if there's one person that doesn't know You this morning as Lord and Savior, Lord, I pray that at this very moment they would surrender to You and that they would just say in their heart, Lord, that, and I'm placing my trust in You, and I'm receiving that gift of salvation that only You can provide. May it be the case this morning as we give You praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.